Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving lunch and dinner and had a good festivities, and praise the Lord, I did. Got to partake of Mr. B's and Glenn's smoked ham. My family, like someone else said in Sunday school, my family said it was the best ham they've ever had, so. I know that Jesse doesn't need a commercial, but anyway, it was awesome. I loved it. I'd like to take just a minute, though, and congratulate Adam and Lori and their whole family. It was a great wedding Friday night, and it was awesome. So congratulations to them guys. I know they're on the honeymoon. Adam joked with me Friday night, "We're probably not going to be here. Don't hold it against me." It's like, man, go enjoy yourself, right? You know, they need to, you know, that's awesome. So definitely congratulate them. And just, you know, I know we've said a prayer in Sunday school class, and I know that we mentioned it this morning already, but definitely want to continue remembering Reagan, you know, and his entire family. And so we just feel led to stop right here for a minute. Lynn and I had jetted up to the emergency room and saw them there and saw him get on the helicopter and take off the shins. And it was just, you know. So let's just stop for a minute and pray for him. Y'all mind? Amen. Let's do that. Father, we just come together as a church body, as a family. And Lord, we just lift up Reagan and his entire family. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over his life and over his situation. Father, we pray for wisdom. Lord, you said that if any man lacks wisdom, that you've to ask, and you freely gives wisdom. So, Lord, we pray for his mom and dad and his family and the doctors that are involved. Lord, we pray for wisdom to make the right decision based on your will of what they should do in his precious life. Well, we'd give him over to you, Father, as a church body, and we pray for him and pray for his family and the extended family and everybody in his life. Lord, we give this all over to you, and we trust you, God. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Singing that praise and worship song, that's the only thing I could think about was him. And just the words of that song and how precious that was. So. There's a lot of hurting folks out there during the holidays. A lot of folks, a lot of families going through tough times, you know. And for us who don't really have anything going on during this time, let's be grateful, right? Let's be grateful that right now during this season of our life, maybe there's not a lot going on, but for a lot of folks, they do have things going on in their life that we need to, you know, pray for them and love on them and that sort of thing. So, before I get started, I wanted to ask you guys, who took the gratitude challenge? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you know, yeah, don't be ashamed. But anybody want to just say like 30 seconds? You know what it meant to you, and just real quickly, anybody want to volunteer? Yes, definitely.
It also makes you realize, I feel unworthy when I look back and see how much is done for me. It's not only salvation, but I'm talking about miracles.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else, as you're writing them down, anybody?
Imagine thinking some things that you wouldn't normally
do. Yes, ma'am, you're right, definitely. Even the small things, even the little things, you know, that sometimes we take for granted. You know, so if you haven't done that, I encourage you, you know, write down a list of things that you're grateful for and thankful for. All right, so let's move into today's message. A quick little prayer, if you don't mind. I always like to do that. And let's pray for this time. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to get up here and share your story. And share the good news of Jesus. I ask you to bless this time. Let it not be my words or any fancy thing that I may want to say, but it'll be you speaking through me, through the Word of God, to encourage all of us, including myself. And Father, I trust you with that. I trust you with us. And I thank you for this opportunity and bless this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, I'm thirsty this morning. I guess all that salty ham. All right, as we enter into this precious, precious Christmas season, we hear a lot about peace on earth and goodwill to man, right? We hear that a lot. I'd like to spend a little bit of time, maybe this week and even next week, we'll see how God's got that worked out. I'd like to spend some time about what God's Word says about this subject, peace on earth and goodwill to man. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 6. And I'll read. Says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Amen. This morning I would like to bring to your attention the importance of trusting God. In order to have peace, the peace that the Bible talks about, the peace that surpasses all understanding, we have to be able to trust God. We need to trust Him with our marriage. We have to trust Him with our finances. We have to trust Him with our children and grandchildren. We have to trust Him with our business, with our health, with our job, with our career, with our safety. We have to trust God with our entire life. Proverbs 3 gives us a good foundation to build on. And we're going to break this scripture down. Here it goes. Proverbs 3, it says, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now see, for responsible people, it's really difficult for us to trust someone that we don't know. Isn't that right? I mean, you're just not going to trust anyone to babysit your kids. Or take your truck to Orlando and come back. Pick up some watermelons, right? You're going to have to know this guy, right? If you got to be able to trust him. Many times throughout the New Testament, Paul and Peter both said, and they prayed this, that they hoped that new followers would grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. That was a big, big hope and prayer for them. You know, obviously getting saved and giving their life to Christ, but that they would grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. In Hosea 4:6, very popular verse, God said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. If you look up that word perish, it means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually die. So without the knowledge of the Lord and the knowledge of Christ, whatever's going on in our life, whether it's our marriage or our finances or all these things I listed, most of the time it will eventually begin to perish away. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, but out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. What does that mean? Out of God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, it's telling us that we're perishing for the lack of knowledge. Where do we get this knowledge? The Word of God. That God freely gives wisdom, but out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. My friends, as we study and meditate on God's Word, we begin to build the trust necessary to live a life of peace. The bottom line is this. Everybody listen closely. The bottom line is this. If you don't know God, okay, let me start over. If you don't know God, it's going to be difficult for you to trust Him living this life. And you may not experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. We have to know Him. So I'm assuming that you know Him. You're born again. You've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can do that today. You can make an assurance today by placing your faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And if you want to do that after the service, please get with me. I don't mind. So, I don't mind. I love to get with you. Right? But yeah, definitely. And but to get to know Him in regards to what I'm talking about this morning is on an intimate, personal relationship. Okay? The Bible says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Now, Paul, he rebuked the believers in Galatia because they forgot the teachings of Christ. Remember in the book of Galatians? They stopped believing the truth. And they started following the false teachers. And in Galatians 3:1, Paul said, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. He said, who bewitched you? Who put that voodoo on you? Who tricked you? That's, if you look at that word bewitched, it means trickery. Like, who tricked you? Who got you off track? And he really studied this. Paul got a little frustrated with them because he spent some quality time with them, teaching them the good news. That they didn't have to live by the law. They didn't have to live by all these rules and regulations anymore. They were saved by faith, by grace. And so Paul was like, who tricked you? Wait a minute. Hang on. Proverbs says, do not forget my teachings and let your heart keep my commandments. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the entire law, everything, the rules, regulations, the law, the Ten Commandments, all that hangs on the two commandments that Jesus presented us, and that's basically loving God and loving people. And the word heart right there, in that passage, it means our soul. It means our will. I mean, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we have to keep our mind on the Word of God. We have to keep our will in check with the Word of God. We have to keep our emotions in check with the Word of God. Proverbs 3:3 says, tell us, it says this, do not let kindness and truth leave you. It said, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Here's this word heart again. See, guys, if you know God and you're growing in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, you will be able to trust God. And you will be able to walk in peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It'll set us free from the cares of the world. that so easily binds us. It only binds us when we keep our eyes off Christ. And we put our eyes on the situation. When God knows what we need. He knows what's best. We have to trust Him. The Bible says to bind them around your neck. Write them on our minds. Write the Scripture on our will. Write the Scripture on our emotions. Write them on the tablets of our heart. See, back in the day when they were writing all this down in the ancient days, they would carve, they would burn, they would chisel, and they would write the law on stones and animal skins and clay and wood. The Word of God is asking us as believers to burn and chisel and carve and write the Word of God into our hearts. In other words, let's keep it real simple. I grew up in the country, so I like to keep things real simple. Is that okay? In other words, it's telling us, it's encouraging us, it's compelling us to memorize Bible verses. It doesn't matter how old you are, right? I pray that God puts a passion in you to begin to study, but not just study, begin to memorize Bible verses. Please listen to this. This helps us know the truth, thereby developing an intimate relationship with God. It's getting to know Him on a personal level, which leads us to being able to trust Him because we know Him, which eventually leads to a peaceful life. You can walk this life knowing that God really is in control. That He really is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That He really does have us in the palm of His hand. We need to hang it around our neck and burn it and chisel it into our soul. Our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. Ephesians and Romans ask us to renew our mind through the washing of the Word. And our will, Jesus and Paul in the New Testament, many times says, die to ourself. Pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus in order to do the will of our Heavenly Father. In regards to our emotions, most of the entire New Testament speaks to us about our emotions. It's constantly reminding us and giving us a Word of God on how to deal with this, how to let go of that, how to get over this, and how to handle that situation. Amen? It really does. When we're trusting God through the good times, and we're trusting God through the bad times, and when we're trusting God through the ugly times, people see it. People are watching you live out your Christianity. Your neighbors are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your family, your unsaved family members are watching you. They're watching us live out our Christianity. Proverbs 3 and 4 says this, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Let's not look over the man part. God put that there for a reason. When you have this kind of relationship that we're talking about in the Word with the Lord, when you're walking in peace and you're trusting God, people will notice. They will be compelled to give you favor. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Everybody get that? Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We are children of God. I'll give you a little quick story about the favor of God. Interesting little example, but let's say that you are the grandson or granddaughter of old man Farmer Brown. No picking on farmers, okay? He was a good man. Paid his bills on time, took care of his family, went to church, raised good boys and girls. Just a good man. High integrity, honest, trustworthy, always volunteered in the community, right? And now he's like, you know, gone on with the Lord and passed away. He had children and grandchildren. Just loved in the community. Man of common sense, man of integrity, man of wisdom. Man who loved the Lord. And he walked with peace. And everybody knew it. And everybody loved him. Oh, now we got his grandson. He's 19, right? Going to Valdosta State. And he's going home one day. Driving a little too fast. Good kid, trying to do well. Going home, driving a little fast. Sheriff department pulls him over on the side of the road. Driver's license. Vehicle registration. Look at his driver's license. And says, Brown. Are you related to old man Brown? On the fish market down there? Farmer? He said, yes, sir. That was my granddad. He was a good man. I tell you what, boy, he just did so much for the community here. He was just a good man. I tell you what, young man, I'm gonna give you a little warning. You slow it down now when you come through here. Yes, sir, I appreciate it. Gave him his driver's license and he took on down the road. Interesting little example. But that police officer showed him what? Favor. He gave him favor, showed him favor. Is it because of who he was? It's because of whose he was, right? It's because of what his grandfather, the reputation in the community. Y'all get it? You see into this? We're children of God Almighty. And sometimes, if we're walking in this peace and walking in this love, people will show us favor. Because we're his children, and he loves us, and he cares for us. Moving on, it says, good repute. This is what I'm talking about. That word repute means to be solid. It means to be wise. It means to have common sense and to make insightful decisions based on good judgment. See, guys, a man or a woman who walks like this is a man or woman who's studying the book of Proverbs, right? Who's studying the Word of God, who's into the New Testament and the Old Testament, and they're studying about God. They're studying about Jesus. And they begin to walk in the truth. So when we do this, we walk in this truth, and we produce this peace, we'll have this wisdom that the Bible talks about and the peace that surpasses all understanding. And people are attracted to these kind of folks. People feel safe around these kind of people. These kind of folks lead people to Christ. Not by their words, but by their actions. These kind of folks make disciples. These kind of folks mentor others. People will say, I want what you have. And then this opens the doors of ministry. The ministry of love. And each one of us here are called to be ministers. Ministers of reconciliation. Walking in the peace and the love of God. And your neighbors and your family and your friends and your co-workers, they will see it in your life. And they'll come up to you and ask you. To end this up, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is a very familiar verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart. and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The Word of God is telling us here to get to know Him and trust Him. And we can trust Him with how we act. We can trust Him with how we feel. And we can trust Him on how we think. This gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. We can trust the truth about our past. See, some of you are still believing a lie about your past. But the Bible says, therefore, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But see, once you get to know the truth, we can trust the truth about our past. God said we have been forgiven of our sins, and He has cast them as far as the east is the west. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul said, forget what lies behind and press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus. That's our past. We can trust the truth about our present. God said, therefore, there is no condemnation. He said He would never leave us and never forsake us. He loves us with an everlasting love, and nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. We can trust Him with our future. God said He is for us, so who can be against us? He has a plan for our life. We are His children. We are citizens of heaven. He has built a home for us. Yeah, not Sunday school classes, right here. He has built a home for us. And He is coming back soon to take us home. Can we say Maranatha? Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And when you look up that word path, it's interesting. It means this. It means to go along in life, a way of living. It's like He'll make our way of living, our going along in life, straight. We all long to live a life with peace and peace of mind. I want to encourage you, my friends, to study God's Word and memorize it. This will prove to be the biggest thing you can do to really get to know God on a personal and intimate level. And then you'll be able to walk that life in peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. During this Christmas season, may every one of us, see the love of God and walk in His peace in our daily lives so that others will come up to us and say, hey, where do you go to church? They'll come up to you and say, how can I have peace like you? Amen. All right. We have an invitational song, hymn. So, like I mentioned earlier, if anyone would like to give their life to Christ, I'll meet you down here at the altar. And